Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Welcoming Wellness and Wisdom, where we explore innovative strategies, insightful books, and healing modalities to take control and optimize your own health and well-being. I'm your host, Debbie McCarthy, a certified holistic health and life coach, hypnotherapist, and Reiki healer, along with my husband, Dave, an avid runner and wellness enthusiast. In this episode, we will explore the transformative power of living by the Four Agreements, a practical guide to personal freedom. The best-selling book written by Don Miguel Ruiz. These ancient yet timeless principles offer profound wisdom for navigating the complexities of modern life and empowering ourselves to live authentically and joyfully. Join us as we delve into the teachings of the Four Agreements and discover how incorporating these ideals into our daily lives can lead to profound personal growth, inner peace, and positive change. Dave, what inspired you to explore the Four Agreements? And can you share a little background about its author, Don Miguel Ruiz?
So back when the New England Patriots were in the midst of their dynasty, Tom Brady used to do a weekly interview on the local sports radio station. I used to enjoy these interviews as they often went in depth, not only about the most recent game, but sometimes provided a glimpse into his personal life. It was during one of these interviews that he casually mentioned reading this little book called The Four Agreements. And he spoke about how it was one of those special books that you want to reread a few times per year. I had never heard of the book, so I downloaded a copy and read the Kindle version. I thought it was excellent, so I bought you a hard copy. While it is a relatively short book, it is a classic that touches on some timeless principles that are certainly worth revisiting on a periodic basis. Debbie, can you discuss what Don Miguel calls domestication, as it is at the root of our fears and insecurities that are ingrained in us at a very young age?
Sure. But I also want to comment about the book because let's backtrack just a sec. So this book, which I absolutely love, the gift that you gave me. You don't give me a lot of gifts, and this was a surprise, and with a personal note that I still use as a bookmarker in this book. Aww. And I go back to it year after year. I've probably read it 4 or 5 times, and each time I pick up something new. Yep. And its author, Don Miguel Ruiz, comes from a family in Mexico of medicine men, okay, and medicine women. So he comes from a family highly intuitive, full of wisdom, and he is, through all of his ancestors and all of the stories that were told to him, he developed this book. So it's chock full of great practical advice and wisdom. It's just like 100 pages or just a little over 100 pages, so it's a really quick read. So yes, yeah. I love it, and I thank you for that. And so to answer your question, in the first chapter, Don Miguel calls the chapter domestication. And it is at the root of our fears and insecurities that are ingrained in us at a very young age. And when we think about it, we as humans have learned to live our lives trying to satisfy other people's demands and points of view because of the fear of not being accepted and not being good enough for someone else.
Yeah.
We become people pleasers, right? Both of us.
Absolutely.
For our kids, for people at work, for our set, our, you know, within our families.
Our dog.
I know. And have formed an image of perfection in order to be good enough. We create an image of how we should be, how we should act and behave in order to be accepted by everyone. We create this image, but it isn't real. We're not good enough for ourselves because we don't fit with our own image of perfection. We cannot forgive ourselves for not being perfect. This is what he calls domestication. If we can break this pattern, this belief, this fear that we likely obtained at a very young age to be accepted at all costs, and if we can adopt what we'll talk about in a few moments, the four agreements, into our new way of thinking, we can come in to our own personal power. We become authentically true to our own way of thinking and our own inner strength. We can create our personal dream of heaven. That's how transformative this book is.
Debbie, can you share your thoughts about the first agreement, be impeccable with your word and its significance on your own self-discovery and empowerment?
Sure. Don Miguel describes the word as it's not just a sound or written symbol, but it's a force. The word is the power you have to express and communicate, to think, and thereby create events in your life. You can speak. What other animal on the planet can speak? The word is the most powerful tool that we have as humans. It's the tool of magic. But just like a sword with two edges, your word can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you. The word is so powerful that one word can change a life, like the word freedom, right? Or it can destroy the lives of millions of people, like Nazism. Without even realizing the effects of the word, our parents and teachers sometimes criticize us as children and young adults, right? Saying
Indeed.
things like, you're getting a little fat. You're being stupid, right? For me, my mom and dad would often say, and this is a classic, you're setting a bad example for your sister. You're the reason she gets into trouble as she follows everything that you're doing. I would often get blamed for something she did even when I wasn't around anymore and I was in college 1,000 miles away. I couldn't believe it. I grew up believing that I was bad and always at fault. And today I still catch myself apologizing to people and circumstances saying, I'm so sorry for something I'm not even sure I even did. Right? It's
Funny.
crazy. But yet so ingrained into my thinking. I've done a lot of work on myself with this, and I now am conditioned enough through lots of practice and meditation to catch myself in the act of apologizing. And I know you hear me say it sometimes, okay?
I
But
sure do. Yeah.
I know when I say it, I say I'm using my words proactively now, taking responsibility for my actions and not someone else's. And I'm following up with more loving words, no longer living in fear of being punished for something I supposedly did. Being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. It means to use your words and energy in the path of truth and love. And if you can make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, the truth will begin to manifest through you and cleanse you of all that negative emotional energy. Like I said, it takes practice and self-awareness. And for me, I found that reciting positive affirmations has helped my journey to self-love, because that's really what it is self-love and self-awareness. If I love myself, I'll express that love in my words to someone else, and then I'm impeccable with my word. Dave, how have you applied this first agreement to your own life? And have you experienced a transformation from it? And then maybe perhaps you could touch on the aspect of the black magic around gossiping associated with this.
Sure. So I have a slightly different view of the first agreement. For me, being impeccable with your word means being honest and straightforward with people. And it always starts with being honest with yourself and extends to your communication with everyone else in your life. I just love the expression, do what you say, and say what you mean. I believe that people respect and trust you more when they know that you are impeccable with your word. It is important for me to be honest and trustworthy. I believe it served me well in both my personal life and the business world, since people know I can be trusted. And they know that if I say I will do something, it will get done. As far as your latter question about the gossiping, all the speculation and gossiping associated with social media and the clickbait news cycle pretty much just bores me. It has become so pervasive today. So I tend to just disassociate myself from it and try to just stay focused on what's truly important rather than get dragged into the mud.
Yes, and that is such a key thing that so many people, and it becomes the collective way of thinking,
It's like a
bashing
group
people
think.
on social media, or getting caught up in the ugly politics that are going around now. And so it's such a good rule of thumb to just not go there.
There's even, stuff about our favorite sports teams too, and they should do this or shouldn't do this, and who the Patriots should draft. And it's just like, you know what?
Yes.
They're going to figure out who to draft on April 25th, and I
Yes.
don't need to read a new draft projection every single day, because whoever they draft. I mean, it's life goes
Yes.
on.
And it's not something we have any control over.
Zero control,
So it's
zero.
kind of like, leave it alone, put it
Exactly.
away. Yeah, I know.
And I've kind of learned to make that separation, and so I no longer even care so much about that anymore. It's kind of
Yes.
funny.
Yes. Agreed.
So Debbie, I know your personal favorite agreement is the second one. Don't take anything personally. How have you grown by applying its wisdom?
Well, like the first agreement, be impeccable with your word, it's usually caused by the opinions of other people. Other people instilling their views on us in a negative way and really believing what they're saying. Here's an example from my childhood. Dinner time was often a very contentious time of day in our house. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom for most of my parents' marriage, and she did pretty much most of the cooking. Both of my parents were brought up to clean their plates and leave nothing behind, so they instilled this same philosophy on my sister and I. At times, it was really hard to eat everything, and I would try to hide the veggies on the side of my plate. I would often try to choke them down if I could. My dad would often say to me, "You eat like a bird. You're too skinny and gonna blow away." It used to make me want to cry. And because of it, I grew up not loving food and not loving my body, thinking I was too rail thin. And to this day, I'm often triggered by negative comments about how skinny I am as I remember back to my early days. I am now working really hard on this agreement through self-care practices and mindfulness. And I'm now loving my petite and thin frame and realizing that when someone makes a comment like that to you, they have a problem with themselves. and are just repeating what they feel internally. I have a sticky note on my office wall that I repeat multiple times a day. Don't take things personally.
That's great.
As you make a habit of not taking things personally, you won't need to place your trust on what others do or say. You'll only need to trust yourself. Dave, what specific examples have you found in your own journey around not taking things personally? And how have you applied this principle?
So when I think of the second agreement, I consider how in my youth I was sensitive and prone to taking things personally. But as I grew older, I learned to deal with reality and not take things personally. Watching our boys grow now, I believe this comes with maturity. But if you consider different personality types defined by models such as the DISC profile, the Enneagram, or Myers-Briggs, it becomes apparent how various personality types and communication styles come into play. We are all truly unique as snowflakes, and we all communicate in our own ways. Now, this agreement is very important in the world of sales, where a no is commonplace. During my career, I learned not to be disappointed when a customer says no, and reframe it in my mind as a not now or not yet. Sometimes it's an indication that the time is not right. Other times it's an indication that the value proposition needs to be fine-tuned in some way. In my opinion, you cannot be successful in the world of sales if you take rejection personally. You must learn to accept failure and deal with it in a positive manner by not taking personal.
Yes, I agree. And it's a, I love your comment about reframing the no. Instead of an absolute no to not yet, maybe in the future, you know, which I think could very well be a no from some people and some cultures.
And by the way, it's not just sales, but it's also in marketing. You know, as with your business, you've tried different things with, digital marketing, and sometimes approach doesn't work, and that's okay. You learn from it, you move on, you try something different, or you fine-tune a message, or a value proposition. So I think this is all, it's a positive learning experience. It's all about having the growth mindset that we talked about in the last episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Debbie, can you explain the third agreement, don't make assumptions, and how we can overcome it?
Well, making assumptions is something we all do on a regular basis. It becomes habitual. And the problem is we actually believe these assumptions are true when, in fact, we haven't asked enough questions or even done enough research or gathered the facts to really find the truth. We make assumptions about what other people are doing or thinking, and we take it personally and then blame them and react in a negative way. It's like a spiral.
That's right.
Often we start gossiping about it afterwards, which, as you just discussed, it's like emotional poison or black magic, as Don Miguel calls it. We also make assumptions about ourselves without even realizing it, and this can cause a lot of internal turmoil. The way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions and make sure the communication is clear. If you don't understand, have the courage to ask and dig further. Once you hear the answer, you won't need to make assumptions as you'll have the truth. It seems simple, but so many of us are afraid to do it. The other really important thing is to find your voice to ask for what you want and need. People have the right to say yes or no, but you always have the right to ask. And likewise, Everyone has the right to ask you, and you have the right to say yes or no. Remember that we had this important discussion a few months ago, didn't we, about expressing our needs to each other? It was a little scary for me at first, but I did it, and afterwards felt so much more clarity. And our whole relationship has improved dramatically, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
And you came back and gave me your needs. And I was, it was like some of them weren't that surprising to me, but others were. And I just felt like I was heard and I felt like I listened to you. And now we've applied this whole principle of not making assumptions by just opening our mouth and telling each other what we need. And imagine how wonderful our relationships would be if we stopped making assumptions and just openly communicated with our friends, our loved ones, and even our colleagues. When you stop making assumptions, guess what happens? Your word becomes impeccable.
That's great.
Dave, can you share a personal example of a time when making assumptions caused a misunderstanding or conflict in your life, and then how you were able to overcome it?
So, as you mentioned, when we're faced with an undesirable outcome, our knee-jerk reaction is often to become defensive. Often, we simply do not understand the totality of the situation, though, and rushing to judgment is usually a bad idea. A recent example concerns a member of our Toastmasters club who had not been around for a while and who had not responded to emails. It's easy to jump to various assumptions and even take things personally. But when we did hear from her, she explained that she had some family issues going on that prevented her from participating. It's a good example of not fully understanding the situation. We truly had no idea what she was going through, but it would have been easy to make assumptions rather than admit we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, and doesn't it feel a whole lot better now that
Absolutely.
you didn't make the assumptions and you kept going back and asking?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But once we heard back, then it's there's
There was no
clarity
issue. There
and
was no issue
there's no
on our,
issue.
it wasn't anything on our part that we did. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love that.
So Debbie, can you tell us about the fourth agreement, always do your best, and how you have applied it to your life?
Yeah, so when you think about this fourth agreement, always do your best. It's about the action of the first three. This agreement allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. Keep in mind that always doing your best may change depending upon the circumstances going on in your life. If you have a really good day with lots of energy and motivation, doing your best will come easy. But if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed after a bad night's sleep, doing your best will be different and not so easy and natural.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're sick or tired. If you always do your best, there's no way you can judge yourself. And here's an example. So as a child and young adult, my dad always made this statement to me, always do your best. And while he had high expectations for his eldest child, I always knew that he wouldn't be upset if I brought home a less than stellar report card because he knew I always did my best in school. I had to study to get good grades, and things did not always come naturally to me. But I learned that when I do my best, I'm more likely to accept myself and my own abilities. Now, of course, I slip up sometimes and get a little lazy, as we all do, but I've learned from my mistakes through practice and self-awareness, and I can catch myself now in the act of doing less than. I'm able to redirect myself and get right back into it. Also, when I think about doing your best, it does not mean it's perfect.
That's
It's
important.
whatever you're capable of doing. Doing your best doesn't feel like work. because you enjoy whatever you're doing. Dave, what practical steps or tips can you offer for integrating the four agreements into daily routines and making them a natural part of one's mindset and behavior?
So this is one of those books that you absolutely want to have in your personal library. It is one of a handful of books that I suggest you want to read a few times per year. It's pretty short, I think under 100 pages, so you can breeze right through it. But each time you read it, I guarantee you will pick up a few new things, a few new insights. This book is full of simple yet timeless principles that will help you live a more peaceful and productive life.
Definitely. And thank you for buying it for me.
Absolutely. The gift that keeps on giving.
Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you found some inspiration and practical guidance on how living the four agreements can transform your life with wisdom and freedom to be your most authentic self. Remember, with practicing these agreements, be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best. You can create a life filled with joy, peace, and fulfillment. Be sure to check out the helpful links section in the show notes for access to a Four Agreements Journal Prompts worksheet, where you can reflect on how these agreements are impacting your life for the better. And if you find yourself not able to follow them, catch yourself and get reestablished, regrounded, and restored. Don't forget to follow and rate this podcast. And if you want to work with us, check out our website at debbie-mccarthy.com or visit us at our wellness studio at 2 Bridgeview Circle, Kingsborough, Massachusetts. On the homepage, you can register for our 10 Tips for Healthy Living Over 50 flyer, and you can schedule a complimentary 30-minute coaching session. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out on our website or via email at coach@debbie-mccarthy.com. As always, consult your physician before beginning any diet, nutrition, or fitness plan. The information presented on this podcast is in no way intended to recommend the self-management of health problems or wellness as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And until next time, make sure you are open, willing, and always welcoming wellness and wisdom for your good health, peace, and vitality.